This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. The Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is the producer of this program. Tommy Trumpet. Somebody tweeted me.
I think it's Timmy.
Is it Timmy Trumpet?
I think it's Timmy.
Okay. Either way. Somebody sent me a tweet with this. Because this was a live version of Timmy Trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever he is. And they said it was the demise of the Mets. I'm like, whatever. But I guess, I don't know, maybe that person wrote the headline for ESPN.com, which I will bring up in a little bit, because the Mets have lost three in a row.
Oh, no.
Three whole games in a row. So we'll
so they're done. That's it. They're done.
Stick a fork in them.
Don't even make playoffs. They don't even make the playoffs, Adam.
Well,
I'm carrying you right now.
That'll be pretty difficult to do. They would probably have to win, like, just five more games
to
make the playoffs.
They're only going to win four,
maybe.
Adam.
It's very possible. Here's the thing. The Mets do have a history of going toes up in September. Mm. They do it. Absolutely. I remember, I'm trying to think how long ago it was now, the Mets had, like, a three-and-a-half-game lead in the division with 1 week to play and did not make the playoffs. They lost all six games they played in the final week and ended up getting edged out. Didn't make playoffs. They've gone toes up before. So we'll see. I think this team is a little different. I like the manager. I like the way they play. They're about 81-51 on the season. So, not the worst thing we've ever seen. But again, they have lost three in a row. All right, we got a bunch of things I want to do today. So, shall we? Let's do it. Do a little college football. Did a lot of college football yesterday.
Yeah.
Shouts to the dude who emailed me saying, can't believe you didn't talk about Duke football. Like, well, A, we did.
Mm-hmm.
B, what? What? What?
Oh. You beat Temple 30-0.
But whatever. Good. It's a great win.
Yeah.
Super win.
That's
we
it.
Talked about it.
Yeah.
We thought, like Duke looked competent to me.
Yeah. See, look, we're talking Duke football right at the top
right
of the show.
Right at the top of the show.
Where's the email?
Just because of that guy.
Where's the email?
So funny. Well, we talked about it yesterday. Talked about it a few times yesterday. Whatever. Like, dude, unless you're listening to all 3 hours, you can't. Why didn't you talk about this? We did. I promise you, we did.
That's why the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen basically to the entire show.
Why it exists. Big test, by the way, for the Blue Devils going to Northwestern.
Yeah.
That's a big test.
I think they're 11-point dogs.
They are. A couple of 1-0 brainiacs. Yeah. All right, so the college football poll is out. Duke not in the rankings. And the voters have spoken. NC State's dropped. Clemson did, albeit, I think, just one spot in the writer's poll. Miami moved up a smidge. And who cares? I mean, this is so funny. Someone who... I used to be a voter in the AP poll. It was back. I mentioned this before. I voted for 2 years. Like, I hated it. I hated being the voter. It's always been silly to me how we rank college football teams. We rank them before they've even played. We're just making guesses. And then, because it really only matters to the people who have a vested interest in a particular program, fans, sometimes coaches, people way overreact after 1 week. I was asked to respond to a question on Twitter, I guess it was Sunday, whenever the coaches poll came out. The fact that the coaches still have Utah ranked ahead of Florida, in spite of the fact that the Gators beat the Utes. Because they did on Saturday. Utah, number 7, went to unranked Florida and got beat. Close game, but they got beat. Look, preseason guesses are fun. I get that. We could do one of those. We could have a poll out like August 3rd for games that don't start for 3.5 more weeks. Okay, fine. That's good. But once those rankings are out, we should ignore everything until we've played a month. Then we can properly rank, sort of. We at least we would have more information. Like, are we really going crazy over one game? Are we really doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I really think that basically we should wait until October. Every team should have played 5 games before we could rank anybody. That would be the wise thing
to do. At least 4, yeah.
Right? That would be the wise thing to do. All right. We have our own poll here we'll get to in a little bit. Moving on. Sam Hartman's back.
Yeah.
How cool is that? By the way, no Wake Forest fans complained. I know they played last Thursday, but no Wake Forest fans complained. But the two Duke fans, they complained. Sam Hartman is back. The Demon Deacons ace quarterback who was knocked out of training camp with an undisclosed condition and was feared out for a long period of time is back. I had somebody whose information I trust said that if you listened to what Dave Clawson said when he said that Sam would be back, he never said this year. So I think they were probably prepared in Winston-Salem that Hartman might miss the entire year but would come back for another year.
Oh, okay.
So he would probably get a red shirt, a medical red shirt for this. I think
he has a year of eligibility.
Yeah, he has
still.
It anyway.
I talked with him at ACC kickoff, and I asked him, hey, what are your plans after this year? And he says, this is my last season at Wake.
Right.
He told me that directly. So
okay.
I guess that would be an extenuating circumstance
it
that would change
have been.
His mind.
I bet
but,
he would have come back, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously very good news.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam will be back on the field Saturday. They expect him to play at Vanderbilt this weekend. By the way, Wake's a favorite. I know this is going to sound strange. I just want to process this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Forest is playing on the road at an SEC school and is a favorite. And it's not a short favorite. They're like a 10 or 12-point favorite at Vanderbilt. Yeah, I know. Vandy sucks. I get it. I get it. But explain to me how a school, academically, enrollment-wise, is just like Wake Forest, but plays in the SEC.
13.5.
13.5 point favorite. Wake's a 2-touchdown favorite on the road at a school that plays their ball in the SEC. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that's cool. I'm going to say it's cool. Now, Dave Clawson is a next-level head coach. Next-level head coach.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to Sam Hartman for getting back sooner than expected. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too.
I
like pictures.
Colors.
I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into 3 colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, are you willing to do that or that? Yellow means liquid money. You can get it anytime. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you. Your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. All right. A super, super read on Panthers quarterback Baker Mayfield. Panthers.com. Maybe you don't go to Panthers.com for news sources about the team, but you know we talk to Darren Gant as often as possible. And Gant is, I think, a unique being in that even for a team website, he writes And you should listen, or you should pay attention to what he writes. Because I can't, you can't listen to what he writes. We are going to talk to him in about 15 minutes. And I'm telling you, the story of Baker Mayfield's transformation this offseason might get people who otherwise are cynical, like me, to buy in a little bit more to Baker. I am not in any way trying to blow smoke up anybody's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask this question, and I'll, Dennis, weigh in on this.
Okay.
The third year Baker Mayfield, the pandemic year Baker Mayfield, that guy was good, right?
Yeah.
Like legit top half of the NFL starting quarterback brigade good.
Yeah.
Well, if you have the 15th best quarterback in the NFL,
yeah,
that's just inside the top half,
yeah,
right? 16 would be half. So if you have the 15th best quarterback in the NFL, starting quarterback, we can stop the search, right?
Yeah.
You can stop the search.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe Baker, I don't know what they're going to do this year, but maybe Baker is that guy. They don't have to do a, you know, a deep dive for a free agent quarterback or anything like that. I don't know. I'm just, Darren Gant made me feel some type of way. We're going to talk to him about it in a little bit. I have more thoughts we'll get back to in a sec. All right, so the college football playoff is going to expand to a dozen teams. We will talk with Chip Patterson about this coming up at 1 o'clock. So there are a number of issues to work through, and there are probably more than the few I will just kind of kick out here right now. They got to deal with the calendar. You know, not every university is on the same academic calendar. It's why there's nothing mostly in December except sporadic bowl games, and the bowls really kick up once we get past the Christmas holiday. There's a few games before then, but for the most part, you know, we have final exams. And the schools like to, because they are final exams, the schools like to leave, you know, a week to 10 days open. That's why there's not a lot of college basketball played after December 15th.
Yeah.
Right? There's just, we're just kind of, maybe even after December 10th, we're just waiting to get through the exam period.
Mm-hmm.
So schools are on different academic calendars. So they have to get through the calendar, like, you know, if we have, where, when we have the quarterfinals, because we will have the first round, then we'll have quarterfinals. We got all sorts of things to kind of work through. They have to deal with revenue distribution. It's going to be a lot of money associated with this. How do they divvy it up? I saw one proposal that said the Big Ten and the SEC would split half.
Huh.
So they would each get 25% of the total revenue distribution, and that the ACC, Pac-12, Big 12 would split 30%. So wait a second. Those two conferences are going to get 25%, and the other three Power 5 conferences are going to get 10%. That's going to get contentious.
No.
Right. And then the group of five as a whole would split 20%.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not sure that's going to fly, but...
Probably not.
It's maybe it's the start, the starting point for a negotiation. So there's that. Media rights. Who's going to air the games? Right now, it's an entirely ESPN product. Of course, the playoff is just three teams deep. We have the playoff, plus we have the New Year's Six Bowls.
Yeah.
So those are all ESPN products. Going forward with more games, while maybe the first year or two, if they can get this done before 2024, and have it start after the 2024 season, ESPN might have the first 2 years of it, but I'll be stunned if we don't have at least one more player. Whether it's Fox or CBS,
mm-hmm,
we're going to have somebody else involved in it, right?
You know, I'm wondering, honestly, if they'll treat it similar to what the NFL does with the networks when it comes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think you'll have four. I don't think you'll have...
But amongst three, with Fox, CBS, ESPN.
I think it's more likely just two.
That's fair.
I think it's more likely just two. And the two biggest players, are Fox
and ESPN.
And ESPN.
Well, they have the media rights with the two biggest conferences.
And Fox also once had the BCS.
That's true.
So that's my guess. Where to play the games? We know that the first round is going to be on campus sites, but then are they going to use bowls? What about the Rose Bowl? Because we're special and whatever. So we have that. And then revenue sharing with the athletes. Yeah, buddy. I'm trying to remember who was quoted as saying this. I don't remember, but I'll get it by the time we talk about it with Chip Patterson. They said we have been talking. Oh, it might have been Bill Hancock from the College Football Playoff. We have been talking about this for the last year. Well, I hope you have been, and I hope you're prepared to give players some money and a lot of it. All right, one more thing before I roll back to the top. Mets lost to the Pirates last night, but what's worse is that Max Scherzer headed back to the injured list. Issue with his side, left side. I don't know which side is worse, blah, blah, blah. But once again, the Mets do not have their double-barreled aces at the top of their starting rotation. Scherzer back on the IL. DeGrom is healthy, but that's a ticking time bomb. But ESPN's headline, the reeling Mets. Like, okay. I think they've won 6 out of their last 10. A week ago, they took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. Midweek, took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. Took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. But they lost the final game of that series. And they lost the final 2 games of that series. And they just lost last night to the Pirates. They've lost 3 in a row.
They're 5-5 in the last 10.
5-5 in the last 10. I still don't see that as reeling.
No.
But, hey, that's fine. Reeling makes it a great headline.
Yeah.
But they are tied with the Braves now. Mets and Braves tied. That's important in for this reason. If you, with 6 teams in the playoffs, if you don't win your division, you've got to survive a playoff series ahead of the division round.
That's right.
Right? You have to survive that. I believe it's all at home, but you have to survive that first series. So anytime you face live ammunition in Major League Baseball, you could lose. And it don't matter who you are. By the way, the Yankees lead the Rays by 4 games in the loss column. That's it. 4 games in the loss column. Remember when the Yankees
had
like a 12-game lead? Dodgers' magic number is 9 to clinch. Magic number is 9 to clinch the division. Absolutely remarkable on September 7th. All right. Let me get back to the top here. And we talked about the polls. So, State's at 18, Clemson went to 5, Miami is up to like 14 or 15 or something, Pittsburgh's in there. Like, anybody upset, granted, anybody else not named NC State wins their game, it doesn't matter by what score, probably doesn't move in the rankings, right? But if you want to say that NC State was dropped 5 spots because, okay, I'm not going to argue with you because it does seem a little crazy, a little overreactionary, but that's fine. That's what the polls are designed to do, I guess, especially early in the season. But it doesn't matter. Complaining about your favorite school's spot in the coaches' poll or the writers' poll, it just doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
The disrespect.
Yeah,
it's the disrespect.
Exactly. There's, whether you like these polls or not, there's a reason why the playoff committee doesn't produce a poll until November. Right? There's just none of the, it's all pointless. I would argue that the committee shouldn't produce a poll at all until they're done. Because it creates stupid. And no group of fans need help being stupid more than college football fans. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just saying that you're easily drawn to it. Anybody wants to find fault with that statement, have at it. But we have our own poll here.
Mm-hmm.
at Capital Broadcasting, WRAL-TV 5, radio, digital, all of that, where we only vote on teams within the state of North Carolina who play Division I football, right? That's what we did. Mm-hmm. There are 14 that play Division I football, and I had to rank 1 through 14.
As did I.
Right, as did Dennis. And, Dennis, we have Chris Lee from WRAL-TV 5 on the mic.
My guy.
He's got a, it's right, your partner in Culture State Podcast. So he has the top five for us?
He does.
Let's hear it.
Coming in at number five, up two spots from last week, the Duke Blue Devils. Duke's defense shut out Temple in a 30-0 win. Coming in at number four, down one spot from last week, the Appalachian State Mountaineers. The Mountaineers missed two-point conversions. So that naturally leads to this. At number three, down one spot from last week, UNC. Even with the win, the Tar Heels were on the ropes on the road at App State after squandering a 20-point lead over the Mountaineers. Coming in at number two and up two spots from last week, the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. The Deeks beat VMI 44-10 last Thursday night behind backup quarterback Mitch Griffiths, and staying in at number one, barely, NC State. Despite not scoring at all in the second half against ECU and the Pirates missing an extra point and a potential game-winning field goal, well, the Pack escaped Greenville narrowly with the win, 21-20.
All right. Do you remember how you voted?
I think, yeah. I actually do remember how I thought.
How did you vote?
I had State 1. Right. I had UNC 2, Wake 3. I think I put ECU App as 4-5 in some of that order. I think I put Duke 6.
Okay. My top five was UNC 1, State 2.
Okay.
To me, they more should have lost than North Carolina. I had Wake 3, ECU 4.
Yeah.
Central 5.
Yeah, Central. I had Central. I think it may actually put Central ahead of Duke at 6. But Central is definitely my top 10.
Over
A&T, yeah.
In the Aggie Eagle Classic in Charlotte.
28-13.
That's a big win. They were good.
Props to Central.
Gave a little love to my friends over at Central. So those are my top five. But honestly, it's week one.
Exactly.
It's week one. We're going to be consistent. Very consistent. All right, real quick, back to the Carolina Panthers. And we are going to talk about Baker Mayfield a lot with Darren Gant. But Matt Rhule yesterday talked about the new addition on the defensive line, Henry Anderson, which is, I believe, that particular part of their defensive line, the middle of their defensive line, is an area of concern. Let's hear what Matt Rhule has to say about the new addition, Henry Anderson.
He's a guy that I have a lot of respect for as a player. You know, we've been looking for someone, to play along with Yetur in that first and second down, big defensive end for us. You know, we have a lot of speed with the Brian Burnses and the Marquise Haynes and the Mari Barnos, but someone could fill that role of playing the six technique, the five technique, the four eye. Also then kick down and be a three technique in nickel situations. Henry's a guy that's done it in the league for several years. We had a chance to see him when we joint practiced against New England. So, when on the injured list for them, he's someone we immediately targeted.
The 4-eye is a convertible, right?
Correct.
So he's anywhere from a 3 to a 6, which is that on a scale of 1 to 10? What is that? What did Matt Rhule say just now?
You want to get football-y?
Before you answer the question.
Oh, let's get football-y.
Before you answer the question. You're speaking to somebody who always thought that cover zero meant we're not going to cover anybody.
For some people, that is the case.
Right. Okay. So explain to me what Matt Rhule was talking about.
All right. So a three technique is on the outside shoulder of the guard.
So it has nothing to do with
three of your
appendages being on the ground.
Correct.
One hand and two legs.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's where the six
technique would have freaked me out at that point.
Yeah. I can only imagine a five technique.
Right, I get it.
Yes.
So, but it could happen.
A 4-eye is the inside shoulder of the offensive tackle.
Okay. Is there a 4-0?
No. A 4 is directly in front of the tackle. A 5 is on the outside shoulder of a tackle.
Why wouldn't that be called a 4-0 then? If a 4I is inside, why wouldn't a 4O be outside?
Because that would just start confusing people.
Okay. Sure. Because this doesn't.
Yes. Because okay. just generally, most lineups are based off 1-3-5, essentially, defensively, or based off 1-3-5. So one technique's the inside shoulder of the guard. 3 is the outside shoulder of the guard. 5 is the outside shoulder of the offensive tackle. A 6 is directly above a tight end.
Okay.
A 7 is the inside shoulder of the tight end, and a 9 is the outside shoulder of the tight end. So you talk about the Eagles and the wide 9.
Uh-huh.
So we line up on the like even further out than what you normally would be on the outside shoulder of a tight end. That's a wide 9.
Okay.
So that's what a 0 is directly above the center. A 2 is directly above the guard. So now some coaches teach. They're different techniques. Some say line up shoulder to shoulder. Some say line up ear to ear. Some say actually line up eye to eye. So that's depending on the technique and stuff of the coaches.
Are you intentionally trying to get my eyes to glaze over?
No, Matt Rhule got all football-y, and it brought up some old feelings I had from college and stuff. You know, just
made you feel some type of way.
It did.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
When Swift is on the grill, good times are sure to follow, and we'll help you keep them going around the grill all season long. Good food, good moments, one great meal. Come together with Swift.